Prayer requests. We love you. God bless.
This weekend, we remember the sacrifice Jesus made on the cross to pay the penalty that you and I rightly deserved. We have all sinned and fallen short of God's righteous standard. Every one of us deserves death and hell. Thankfully, Jesus did pay our debt and rose again, overcoming death, hell, and the grave. He offers everyone salvation. All you have to do is believe that He is the Son of God, that God has raised Him from the dead, and repent of your sins to accept God's free gift of salvation.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
In 1996, Hillary Clinton wrote a book entitled, It Takes a Village. And in that book, she stated that it actually takes a village to raise a child. And we're going to ask that question. Actually, we're not really going to talk about that question yet today, but we are going to start asking the question. We're going to start a series where we will ask the question, does it really take a village to raise a child? And what we'll focus on today is how do we determine truth? You may recall, and we just recently went over the resurrection story, the story of the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that He shed His blood on the cross. He was raised from the dead. And we just went over that when we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And really, we do this, we celebrate His resurrection every single Sunday. But part of that story, part of that account of Jesus dying on the cross, His trial, His crucifixion, and His resurrection, is we find in John chapter 18, verses 37 through 38. Pilate therefore said to Him, saying to Jesus, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You rightly say that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Then Pilate said to Him, "What is truth?" So Pilate asked, "What is truth?" And of course, Pilate is really doing this because Pilate didn't really believe in Jesus, or he wasn't sure whether he should believe in Jesus or not. He wasn't sure whether Jesus really was a king, whether he was who he said he was. He didn't know whether he should follow Jesus or not. So he asked, "What is truth?" And although that question that Pilate asked showed doubt, that Pilate was actually doubting that Jesus was God, that He was the King of the Jews, that He was not only the King of the Jews, but also came to serve and to be a king, to rule over us, to rule over the nations even. But that question is something that each of us should ask when we hear something. What is truth? And is this truth? Because let me tell you, there are a lot of people saying a lot of things today that aren't true. And when we look at what is being said, it's difficult sometimes to know what is true. And when we look at various events, you know, some people will say, well, this happened. Another person might say another thing happened. It's difficult to know. And sometimes there are people out there that are saying things because they want to purposely deceive others. And so they're saying things that aren't true because they want to deceive someone. There are other people who truly believe that something that is not true is true. They truly believe that it's true, even though it's not true. And they will actually proclaim that. There are people that want to divide us, that want to divide our country, that want to divide Christians against non-Christians, Republicans against Democrats, conservatives against liberals. They want to divide, and so they will actually present one set of facts to one group of people and another set of facts or another proposed set of facts to another group of people and try to get them to fight with each other. There are people that purposely suppress the truth and purposely hide the truth. And it is important for us to know what is true. And there are some things that we really probably this side of eternity, there are some things unless people actually come forth and speak the truth and we can actually see credible evidence, there are some things that we just probably are going to go to our grave, and until eternity, until we're in heaven, at some point we maybe have the truth of what happened actually revealed to us. But we have a set of standards that we can actually go by from the Word of God. And I'm going to presuppose here, when we ask, how do we determine truth? I'm going to presuppose that, first of all, truth, God's Word is truth, and we need to base our beliefs first and foremost on God's Word. We need to have a biblical world view. We need to read God's Word and to study it to show ourselves approved. Jesus, as a part of his high priestly prayer toward the end of his life, as he was preparing to go to the cross, he was preparing and he was praying for his disciples. In John chapter 17, beginning in verse 17, he says to God, he's praying, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into this world, I also send them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word. So Jesus here is praying to God that God would sanctify not only his disciples, those who presently believed in him, but also all of those who in the future would believe because of the words of the disciples and the words of those who became Christians because of the disciples and the words of those who became Christians because of them, and so on and so forth. And that even includes us. And we need to realize here that we are sanctified by his truth, by the truth of God, the truth of Jesus, and that the Word of God is truth. We read from the opening passage this morning. We actually read from Psalm 119. And in Psalm 119, we see that the Word of God is pure. Therefore, your servant loves it. We see that the law of God is truth. We see that the righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. We see as we go on that he's praying that God would help him to keep his testimonies, which is another word for the Word of God. We see that he rises before the dawning of the morning. He cries for help. He hopes in the Word of God. We see that he meditates on the Word and actually even meditates upon the Word even at night, during the night watches. And we see in verse 151 that all the commandments, all your commandments are truth. And concerning your testimonies, I have known them from of old. That you have founded them forever. I've known of old that you have founded them forever. We see also that he would not forget the law of God, that he's praying that God would revive him according to his word, and that God would save him. Those who persecute him, many persecute him, yet he does not turn from your testimonies. He also says that The entirety of your word is truth. Every one of your righteous judgments endure forever. So we see that God's word is truth. And one of the things that I often, when I, and many of you guys probably have heard, if you've heard me preach before, you may have heard me talk about my time with a jail ministry. And my jail ministry was different than the jail ministry of a lot of others. I was actually in jail ministering to the inmates. I was in there not for doing anything wrong, but for peacefully protecting preborn children from abortion. And one of the things that I would do as I was witnessing to people and telling them and talking to them, one of the things that I would do, if I only had a few minutes with someone, I would actually quote them two verses of Scripture. And these two verses of Scripture are really, I believe, the most important lesson that we can learn. For if we learn this lesson and we apply it to our lives, we will then learn every other lesson that is in the Bible, or at least we'll be on our way and we'll be learning other things because God will be revealing new things to us. In John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So we are to abide in his word. That means to live in it. We're to be reading it. We're to be thinking about it. We're to be pondering upon it. We're to memorize it. We're to meditate upon it. We are to let his word be a light to our path and a lamp unto our feet. We're to develop a biblical worldview. We're to view the world through the lens of the Bible. And if we hear something that doesn't line up with what God says, we are to reject that. If we do this, if we abide in his word, we are his disciples indeed. That means disciplined followers. So we should discipline ourselves to follow after God. And it says here that we should know the truth. How would we know the truth? Well, God's word is truth, and we're abiding in his word. So in essence, we are abiding in truth. If you're living in truth, if you're constantly immersing yourself in the word of God, if you're constantly hearing God's word, which is truth, you are actually living in truth, and you shall know the truth, and that truth would set you free. What's that truth going to set you free from? Well, that truth is going to set you free from sin. That truth is going to set you free from bondage. That truth is going to set you free from guilt. That truth is going to set you free from everything that the devil wants to bind you with. That truth is going to release you and is going to set you free so that you can do what God wants you to do. That truth is going to set you free from wrong thinking as well, and is going to deliver you from that. Everything that you need to know, if you're reading the Word of God, you're going to know it. You're going to learn it. Now, that's not to say that you're going to have a complete understanding of God's Word. No, no one has a complete understanding of God's Word. We have to continually be abiding in His Word. We need to continually to be trusting in Him. You know, I have a friend who once told me that he doesn't believe that he should read the Bible because he's having a hard enough time following what he's already read. And that's really not what the Bible says, does it? Is it? The Bible says actually the opposite, that as Jesus said, that his word is truth and his word would actually sanctify his people and his disciples. And Jesus here says that if we abide in his word, that we will be his disciples indeed. We shall know the truth, and that truth would set us free. So that truth actually sets us free. In Psalm 119 earlier in the Psalm, actually around verse 9 through 16, actually The psalmist says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. So it's as we hide his word in our hearts. And what did Jesus use when he was tempted by the devil? He used the word of God. And he didn't have to actually, open up a concordance and do a search. He didn't have to pull out a scroll and find the place where it was written. No, he knew exactly. He knew the word of God because he had memorized it, and we need to do the same. We also see that Jesus himself is truth, and this makes sense because the Bible tells us in John that God is truth, and that the word of God is truth. And then the Bible actually tells us in John chapter 1 that Jesus is the word made flesh. And so in John 14, verse 6, we see Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Let me tell you something. You may think that you can get to heaven another way. You may think that you can be good enough to get to heaven. You may think that if you follow Hare Krishna that you can get to heaven, or if you follow Muhammad that you can get to heaven. There are many people that believe that there are many ways to get to heaven, and there's no right way, but Jesus says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So if you want to get to heaven, if you want to get to the Father, if you want to escape hell, you can only do so through Jesus Christ. We look also and we see some examples of those who actually look and search for the word of God. You see, we are not to accept anyone's word as being truth on face value. I don't care if it's Hillary Clinton or any other politician. It could be Donald Trump. It could be anyone. We shouldn't just accept what they say as truth. We shouldn't accept what lawyers say as truth. Even lawyers that are judges, even those who are on the U.S. Supreme Court, we shouldn't accept that as truth just because they say it. When the U.S. Supreme Court said that a preborn child is not a person, we're not sure if this is a person, and you can actually rip this baby limb from limb and kill it by abortion. That doesn't make that truth. When the Supreme Court ruled that three generations of imbeciles is enough, and a black woman can be forcibly sterilized, and many black women were forcibly sterilized because of that judgment, that didn't make that true. When the Supreme Court ruled that a black man could be owned by another man, that didn't make that true. We need to, whether a politician or a judge or a actor or an actress or a news commentator or even a pastor, even a minister says something, we shouldn't just listen to it and believe it. But we see in the book of Acts in chapter 17 that the Apostle Paul and some of his buddies were actually, Paul and Silas and many, many others, they were actually going and they were preaching the gospel. They went to Thessalonica, and in Thessalonica, the Jews weren't persuaded. They became envious. They took some evil men. They took them into the marketplace. They gathered a mob, then set the city in an uproar. They actually attacked the house of Jason where the apostles were staying and sought to bring them out to the people. And we see that there was a huge uproar that happened there. But we see in verse 10, then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. So they were ready to hear. They were open. They wanted to learn what God would say to them. They didn't just close themselves up, but they also didn't just accept the words of Paul and Silas, even apostles that God had sent to share his, spread his word, even though what they were saying was truth, they didn't just accept that it was truth automatically. They searched the scriptures to see whether what they were saying is true. And this is a big, huge issue. We need to always search the scriptures. You may recall Jim Jones and the group of people that he led away to Jamestown and eventually had them all commit suicide. At one point in his ministry, he actually took the Bible and threw it on the ground and said, "You don't need this book. You don't need the Bible." And people started looking at what he said and following what he said rather than actually looking at the Word of God to see whether what he was saying was true or not. And it led them, those who didn't escape from that, those who didn't leave, it led them to their death. We see also when we look at the Bible that there are some who actually suppress the truth. The unrighteous actually suppress the truth. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." So we see here something that many pastors don't talk about today. We hear a lot about the love of God. We hear about His goodness. We hear about His grace. We hear about His mercy. But we don't hear a lot about His wrath. But God is a God that is gracious. He is merciful. He is love. But He is also righteous, and He brings about His judgment on those who will not believe, those who will not believe that Jesus is the Lord, those who don't believe His word, those who don't repent of their sins. God's wrath, in fact, even in John chapter 3, the Bible says that if we don't believe on the Son of God, that God's wrath abides on us. But the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. Unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So there are people that know the truth, but they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. In Romans chapter, later on in Romans chapter 1, verse 25, it says, "Who exchange the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." So they actually are exchanging truth for a lie, and they're believing the lie, and they believe the lie because they want to justify themselves. They want to justify their own actions, and they actually exchange truth for a lie. And later on in that chapter, it actually talks about that these know the righteous judgments of God. They know that what they're doing is wrong, but they still do it anyway. They are actually trying to make themselves believe that what they're doing is right. When we actually look in society and we see that truth is not always upheld. In fact, there's a lot of lies. There's a lot of falsehoods that are going forth. And we can add, you know, a whole bunch of other groups of people. I mean, you can even add doctors. You can even add people from the CDC and spokespeople and newscasters. You can add all kinds of people to that list. Should we just accept what people say as true, even and just believe that? No, we should actually search out the scriptures. And as a church, God has given us the position to actually establish truth in the land. When we see truth fallen down in the streets, it is because the church of Jesus Christ is not doing what God has called us to do. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, the Apostle Paul said this, "I write to you that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar in the ground of truth. So we are to actually be, the church is to be the pillar in the ground of truth. So we are to abide in his word so that we should know that we can be his disciples indeed, that we can know the truth because we're abiding in his word, which is truth. So essentially we're abiding in truth, and then that truth can set us free. But we're also, as a part of that, we're also to proclaim the word of God. And as a part of the church, we are to establish righteousness and justice. We are to proclaim the truth publicly, and we are to call the nations to repent before God for suppressing the truth, the unrighteous to repent for suppressing the truth. We also see that as Christians that we are supposed to be diligent to rightly divide the word of truth. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, we read, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We are to present the word, we are to hear the word, we are to abide in his word, and we are to study it and be diligent to do this. You should be reading the Bible and spending more time in the Bible than you are watching television or watching movies. Instead of binging on Netflix, how about binging on the word of God? How about devouring his word? How about abiding his word in his word? How about just immersing yourself in his word so that you can be his disciple, so that you can know the truth, so that the truth can set you free? So as we move forward and ask this question, does it really take a child or a village to raise a child? We are going to look at the word of God, and we're going to base that truth, what we believe, on the word of God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and give you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Lord, hasten the day that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea, when the multitudes of the islands would lift up their voices to you, and when the kings of this earth would bow their knee before the King of Kings, lest he be angry.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
This weekend, we remember the sacrifice Jesus made on the cross to pay the penalty that you and I rightly deserved. We have all sinned and fallen short of God's righteous standard. Every one of us deserves death and hell. Thankfully, Jesus did pay our debt and rose again, overcoming death, hell, and the grave. He offers everyone salvation. All you have to do is believe that he is the Son of God, that God has raised him from the dead, and repent of your sins to accept God's free gift of salvation.
His plan to those